Het is lekker om hier te wees. Ek het gister, ek was hier van plan om hier te wees nie, maar toe ry ons, en terwijl ek ry en ek bid, toe voel ek net die Here sê, maar ek moet vanoggend hier kom vir hierdie woord bedien. So ek is hier, ons is St. Paul in dieselfde streek, so Durban, George en West London, ons is een streek, so ons doen Skype meetings elke tweede maandag, gesels ons en ons support mekaar en bid vir mekaar en ons bid baie vir julle hier, so ons bid regtig vir George en ons is baie opgewonde wat die Here tans hier so doen en die getuienisse, dit is so bemoedigend. God is doing amazing things all over en is vir ons so voorreg om vir Paul en Nadine beter te leer ken. Ons is baie lief geraak vir hulle en ons is baie opgewonde oor die pad saam. Julle is baie bevoorreg om hierdie amazing pastoorskappel te hê. Besef julle dit? Hulle is regtig mense met integriteit, liefde vir die Here en hulle het soveel opgeoffer om hierdie kerk te begin en julle te hulle het soveel goed opgeoffer soos finansies, hulle kon in die besigheidswêreld gewees het, hulle kon soveel ander goeders gedoen het, maar they followed God. En so ek wil net vir julle bemoedig om hulle te ondersteun en vir hulle te bid en dan gaan jy net soveel weer terugkry. Ek het net gesien na by ons ook, hoe meer die mense in my investeer, hoe meer kry hulle terug, hoe meer hulle ons seën, hoe meer word hulle geseend. So ek wil net vir julle bemoedig. Die preek wat ek, boodskap wat ek met jou wil deel, is wat ek op Pinkstersondag by ons gedeel het. En dit is so van my thema vir hierdie jaar, maar ek dink het mag ook een thema wees wat nog een lang pad gaan aangaan. En so ek wil bykie vir julle, I want to share a bit of my story and a bit of our journey. Ek en my vrou is dier baie moeilike tyd die afgelope 3 jaar. So van, eindelijk baie interessant, ons het 4 jaar gelede oos Londen toe gegaan, amper 4 jaar gelede. Die gemeente was maar 15 mense en die Heer het ongelooflik goed gedoen en in terme van die getalle van die kerk en ons venue en die life change. Ons het getuienis sondag ook gehad, 'n paar sondag gelede en net die getuienisse, jy weet, soos die een ou wat getuig, hy was op die sterkste antidepressante wat die dokter hom kon opsit 3 jaar gelede en toe kom hy kerk toe. Chauffeur was Londen toe, en hy sê net, is nie iemand wat vir hom gebid het nie, het is niks specifieks nie, behalwe net die mense wat vir hom lief gehad het, en hy sê hy liefde het om omgedraai, en om totaal al genees, dat hy van een antidepressante af is, heeltemal genees is, en nooit weer hoef terug te kyk nie. Prys die Here. Nou daai type gesê, getuienis op getuienis op getuienis, en wat die Here doen. Maar wat met ons gebeur het, is dat ons, ons sienkie is gebore, so die Sonika was 8 maande swanger, toe ons Oos-London toe getrek het, en so 10 dae het hy vroeg ook gekom, op 24 December, amper 4 jaar gelede is hy gebore, en so die kerk en my sienkie is met in die selde tyd gebore, so ek vergelyk altyd my sienkie se groei met die kerk, en maar toe dat iets interessants gebeur, Sonika het begin sukkel om te slaap. Sy het vir 3 jaar lang gesukkel om te slaap. En toe ons die laaste keer hier was in George, het was in April gewees, daai aand het het weer net, ons het van die begin van die jaar of net weer chaos gehad, het van sy kon nie slaap in die nachte nie. So, as jy kan slaap, dan denk jy nie hier oor nie, maar as jy elke aand 8:30, 9 in die bed klim, en jy is nog 2 uur, 3 uur wakker, en dan ek slaap soos 'n droom, en dan word ek wakker, my vrou is in trane, en dan begin ek nou maar vir haar bid, en dat ek nou net geïrriteerd ook wees, dan is ek ook in die moeilikheid, so ek moet nog Jesus liefde ook betoon, so in die nachte, en, maar het omtrent vir 3 jaar lang so aangegaan, en ons uitgeroep tot die Here vir bevryding, vir geneesing, ons het, we tried everything, selfs die slaappille wou nie meer werk nie, het net so van, dit was regtig, en ek besef, ons is so vulnerable, maar, wat toe gebeur het, is die Here het iets in my gedoen, waar ek besef het, jy weet, as een pastoor van een gemeente is het, jy weet, as jy lekker lofprysing aan bidding gehad het, en die boodskap is goed, en die kerk groei, en die finansies is okay, dan denk jy, alles is goed. Maar nou sit jy met jou vrou wat nie kan slaap in die nagte nie en 'n klomp ander goed ook waarmee ons gesukkel en gestoei het en dan besef jy net maar ons het meer as dit nodig. Ons het meer as net nice Christianity nodig. Ons het meer as net 'n mooi boodskapie nodig. En wat die Here aan ons gedoen het ook is ons het begin besef dis nie net ons wat sukkel nie, maar as mense in ons gemeentes wat sukkel met 'n verskeidenheid van dinge. En dan verder is dit, as jy nou na die plakkerskamp toe gaan of die lokasie toe gaan, dan besef jy net die devastation is 1000 keer erger as onder ons mense. And so God started to work in me. Hy het iets in my gedoen wat ek het besef dat ek het meer nodig. Ons het meer nodig as die deursnit Christenskap waarvoor meeste van ons gesettel het. And this message about open heavens, God really spoke to me about this, and there's been a theme in our church, and I've been setting my heart and my mind to one thing, more of God. More of God, His manifest presence, not just a nice message, but His manifest presence that transforms. En die vrug in ons gemeente tot dusver is net ongelooflik. My eie lewe is net amazing. I had experience, and this doesn't happen often. We don't have weird things happening in general, but we had an intercession meeting, ons het 'n gebedsaand gehad. Net 'n klompie van ons, 5, 6, 7, 8 van ons het gebid. En toe op een of ander oomblik, dis asof die Here se teenwoordigheid net in die kamer ingestroom het. Soos ek nog nooit ervaar het nie. Is asof die hemele oop gegaan het vir 'n oomblik. And I felt the presence of God all over me. It's like I was, it's weird to explain it, but God showed me a picture. And He showed me cloud cover. And He told me that this is standard. There's a cloud cover. The heavens are closed in a sense that what most of us experience and what is normal for us is often not what God is destined to be. But then God showed me that just above me, the cloud cover opened up. And it's like light shone upon me. The glory of God shone upon me. I experienced God like I've never had before. And I felt God say, this is just the beginning. And then He told me and He spoke to me because I've been seeking His face like never before. And then the Lord told me, I've answered your prayers. And I didn't know, which one, Lord? Watter een? Watter een as so baie? Maar in die tyd wat Sonika, ons het net hierdie chaos gehad, uitgeroep tot die Here. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, He's answered my prayers, and what He's now begun in me is just the start. But He wants to open the heavens over His church. He wants to open the heavens over our lives. That we will have more than just a nice message, more than just a nice idea of God, but that we would meet with God. And that's what Pentecost, Pinkster, this is what we're Pinkster gaan. You see, Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Handelinge 2, it's more than just a once-off experience. It's an invitation of a continuous outpouring of God's presence. And so I want to take you to that. Pentecost was 50 days after Jesus' death on the cross. It was a festival that the Jews celebrated. They celebrated the first buds of harvest. They celebrated the ingathering, the beginning of the ingathering. And on that day, in Acts chapter 2, Handelinge 2, God poured out His Spirit and 3,000 men came to Christ. 3,000 men came to Christ. It was a powerful, powerful move of God. And in Acts 2, it says there, and this is our invitation. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can you say, all filled with the Holy Spirit? Now this is interesting. In our circles, when you're filled with the Spirit, often people would say, well, the sign would be, you know, praying in tongues or speaking in tongues. But what does it mean to be truly filled with the Spirit? It means that you're filled. It's you're truly filled with the Spirit. In other words, you will see life change around you. When you're truly filled with the Spirit, there will be an outflow, a river of living waters flowing forth from your heart. And sometimes we've downscaled being filled with the Spirit with speaking, say, in tongues. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine this happening here. Say you're 120 people here. Maybe a little bit less, 120. Imagine God's presence. Imagine the heavens opening up over this place. Imagine each of us being filled with God Himself. A rushing mighty wind. God doing His own marketing. That all the community here, something's happening right here. More than 3,000 people jump in their cars and they drive here. They jump out and say, what's happening here? More than 3,000 men commit their lives to God. Just because God has pitched. I believe that's an invitation for us. It's an invitation for so much more. What if God would do it again? What if God would open the heavens over us? What if God would truly manifest Himself? Be life-changing. Absolutely life-changing. Pentecost was never meant to be a once-off event. If you read in Acts chapter 4, Handelinge 4, there was another outpouring of the Spirit. The place was shaken with an earthquake. We often make memorials of what has happened in the past, and we're very excited about that, but we don't realize it is just an invitation. So often we say the scriptures, it's for somebody else. That's what unbelief says. It's for somebody else. Or maybe we say, it's not for today anymore. I remember I was a youth pastor in Stellenbosch, and I had the young people, and we're talking to them about the book of Acts. We're talking about them, about the Holy Spirit. And then they went to another church leader. And I remember they coming back to me very confused. And this church leader told them, Handelinge is nie meer vir vandag nie. Nou, het klink so mooi. Handelinge is nie meer vandag nie, is geskiedenis. But what he was actually saying is, let's rip Acts out of the Bible. That's actually what he's saying. Let's rip Acts out of the Bible. It's for today. Faith says, when you read the scriptures with faith, faith says, this is for me. Dit is vir my. Nie vir iemand anders net nie, dit is vir my. Hoe lees jy die Bybel? Sien jy dit as 'n uitnodiging? Sien jy dit as 'n uitnodiging vir dieselfde en meer? Of lees ons met doubt and unbelief? It's amazing die mense daar. 500 people saw Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after He was crucified and raised from the dead. 500. Only 120 were in the upper room. Net 120 het geglo. Maybe some of them were there in the beginning praying and waiting, but then they doubted. Seeing is not, with our physical eyes, is not the answer. But seeing with our hearts. I want to invite you to see with your heart today. Seeing the glory of God. John chapter 11, verses 40 to 44. This is where Lazarus was dead for 3-4 days. And Jesus came there, Mary and Martha, they were mourning, they were upset. Hulle was baie ongelukkig. They were saying, Jesus, if only you were here, you would have lived. And look at what Jesus said to her. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. If you would believe. When I toe ek hierdie boodskap gedeel het op die 27ste Mei, ons het 'n proses begin by ons gemeente waar ons regtig begin uitroep het vir die Here om mense se lewens kragtig aan te raak, om mense te genees, om lewens om te draai, om my vrou aan te raak. En het ongelooflike persoonlike behoefte uitgekom vir God Almagtig om homself te openbaar. En En in die tyd wat ons so uitgeroep het na die Here en begin 'n preek het dat God genees vandag. Om te sê, maar dit is nie net van 2000 jaar gelede, nie, is nog steeds vandag. Soos die eenskrif sê, Jesus said, for he who believes in me, the same works he will do and greater. So there's this invitation. He who believes in me, the same works and greater. So ek het even bezig met die woord aan te hou en deur te bid en deur te werk en te verkondig van in ons gemeente. En ek onthou op hy selfe tyd, toe begin my vrou siek raak. Ek weet nie of julle psoriase ken nie, maar is 'n vel siekte. En sy het al van skool af, van laerskool af, sy was vir 2 weke in die hospitaal as 'n laerskoolkind, as gevolg van die vlak van hoe dit uitgebreek het oor haar liggaam. En hoe dit werk is basis jou vel, die vel hernie homself te vinnig, 7 keer vinniger as normaalweg, so jy la en la van vel, en het begin op haar een arm, en toe versprei het na haar maag toe, en na haar bene toe, en toe na haar rug toe, en is besig om jy op te beweeg na haar gezicht toe, en sy het gebid dat het nie haar gezicht sal beïnvloed nie, en ek onthou elke oggend staan ek op, en dan staan my vrou voor my, en dan loop die bloed van die krap, en het is iets verskrikliks, dit ek kan nie veel beskryf nie, en ek onthou daai Sondag by Pinkster Sondag, toe verkondig ek het, toe sê ek vir hulle, sê ek vir die gemeente, en ek sê, Here, now, God, we trusting you for healing. What is this? We trusting you for healing. Ek onthou toe, 12, 13 jaar gelede, toe ek vir Sonika wou beginne uitgaan het met haar, toe sy 'n baie slegte uitbreek van psoriase oor haar liggaam gehad. En ek onthou toe sy vir my gewys het op haar bene. En ek moes 'n keuse maak daai dag, gaan ek sy die een, gaan ek al gaan sy vir die res van haar lewe sukkel met dit, gaan ek committed wees, sien ek kans vir dit. En ek onthou sy het 'n woord toe gekry van Naaman wat na Elia toe gegaan het, en Elia of Elisha het gesê, gaan doop jouself in die rivier 7 keer, en ek onthou, en hy het leprosy gehad, hy het melaatsheid gehad, en ons gaan doop haar toe in die Stellenbosch dam, daar 1 aand 7 keer. Van ons vertrou die Here dat het sal, so skrikkelijk, as baie shame, connected met dit ook, en sy is nie oombliklik genees nie, maar vir die volgende 11, 12 jaar was het nooit weer so erg nie. Het was net 'n bietjie op die kopvel, bietjie op die elmboe en so aan. Totdat ek beginne sê, het Jesus genees vandag. Toe begin het uitbreek oor haar liggaam. En ek het net beginne verkondig vir die gemeente, this is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. My God heals. And it was amazing. We prayed for her. We had a school of the supernatural and a few ladies prayed for her. And it wasn't in a moment, but over 3 weeks, it spread it over her, most of her body. And it was spreading. And we prayed for her. And she didn't tell me anything about a week, but then looking back, it actually stopped spreading when they prayed for her. And the process turned around, and within 3 weeks she was completely removed from her body. And it normally takes about a year, year and a half before you see a change in terms of a turnaround for the good. Praise the Here. Our God heals still today. But I believe there's a challenge for us. What are you settling for? What are you and I settling for in terms of Christianity? For what type of God are we settling for? A nice God, or a God who is still powerful, still able to heal, still able to set free, still able to transform? And so Jesus says here in John chapter 11, he says, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God, if you would believe? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and feet with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him, let him go. But amazing, Jesus said, if you believe, you see the glory of God. But then this amazing thing, Jesus is so different than most of us. He stands there and he says, Father, I thank you. You always hear me. What is that? How is that possible? Where does Jesus get this? Where does Jesus get this? He knew he was a son. He knew he was a son, and so he could pray. There are amazing things happening all across the world. There's a ministry called Iris Ministries in Mozambique. I don't know if you've heard of them. But one of their leaders ministered in East London, and he shared that over 100 people have been raised from the dead in their ministry. And their definition of the dead being raised is at least 24 hours dead before, just to make sure he was truly dead. And this man, he shares, God is wanting to do this. He shares that one guy was 3 days dead, and he prayed, and the guy was raised from the dead. Another girl was dead a few days, and God raised her from the dead, etc. But it's amazing to hear that God wants to do this, not just in certain places in the world, but if you believe. There's something about Jesus that is so different than for most of mankind. And I want to share this. Something that sets him apart, but I believe something that God has set apart for each of us as well. Look at this. Matthew 3:16. It says, and Jesus was baptized. And immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. Open heavens. The heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Where did Jesus' power and confidence come from? It came from here. For 30 years he did nothing. In terms of the supernatural, he didn't walk on water, he didn't raise the dead, he didn't feed people with a few pieces of bread. He was a normal, normal man. Somebody said Jesus was the most normal Christian you've ever seen. Normal. He was just a man until the Holy Spirit came upon him in a powerful way. Then the miracle started. But this bit, this is what I actually want to focus on. He first says he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. I always wonder about this. If Jesus was so perfect and wonderful, why did the Father feel it is necessary to speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? What is that? What's happening there? Why? Because I believe each and every one of us need that same affirmation. We need to know that we are a son of God. Now, this is not about gender. Ladies, you can be a son as well. It's a position in Christ. But Jesus could say, Father, I know you hear me. I know you always hear me. Always hear me. Because he had a spirit of sonship resting upon him. Every man, every woman, every child on the face of this earth needs this encouragement, affirmation, identity. The Father, the Heavenly Father saying, I not just love you, I celebrate you. The New Living Translation says, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. We had a lady, one of the ladies in church, she was jogging. Now, this is in the time where we also trust in God for miracles. That Sunday, I preached about God heals today. Monday afternoon, she jogs. A car hits her. She rolls over the bonnet of the vehicle, falls back on her feet, and a whole side of her body got injured. That was the Monday afternoon. Tuesday, she doesn't go to work. Tuesday afternoon, I saw her at our home. She walked like a 90-year-old person, like this. Couldn't touch the side of her body. She was in great pain, especially her hip area. It was going blue and funny colors and everything. That evening, some of our church people went to pray for her. And they prayed for her, and the Spirit of God came upon her in a powerful way. And at some stage, she felt warmth on this side of her body. Then they heard a noise, like a click or something in her hip. And she got up, because she was lying on the floor. She got up and she said, all the pain is gone. Everything's gone. And she looked and she said, there's still blue and bruised and everything. And then she says, next morning when she woke up, all the blue and black and whatever was gone as well. God completely healed her. I was excited when I heard that. We went with that testimony. The first Sunday she shared, the next Sunday I had the people praying for her to share. We're just wanting to testify and testify and testify. And say, guys, our God still heals. Our God is still powerful. Our God is still doing amazing things. And you and I need, sometimes we need encouragement around these issues. But Jesus needed to know that his Father loves him and that his Father celebrates him. And so also for each of us, there's something about knowing the Father's love. I remember when I was a teenager, my parents divorced, and I was going through a very difficult time in grade 9, grade 8, standard 6, standard 7. And I remember I almost went completely off track. I mean, I almost completely lost. I was getting involved with the wrong people. But I remember sitting with my dad, waiting to visit him, and we would sit for evenings from 6 o'clock at night until 11, 12 at night, just the two of us, and we'll just share. And I remember the impact that made on me as a young man, a teenager, of there's one man on the face of this earth, and it's my dad, and he believes in me. It made a massive impact on me. That helped me to not go completely off the rails. They did a study in prisons. On Mother's Day, there was a ministry working in prisons. And on Mother's Day, they had gave cards out to all the inmates, all the men in the prison. And they said almost everybody wrote a card to Mama. This is in America. To Mama. And they said, well, let's do the same thing on Father's Day. Let's write a card to Dad Day. They say, nobody wrote a card. Nobody wrote a card. Because Dad wasn't there. We can see the destruction in our society because of people, especially men, ladies as well, but not knowing a dad's love. But how much more our Heavenly Father's love. If I think of myself over the years, I focus a lot on Jesus, relating to Jesus as my Lord, but also my friend. But I realize I never knew the Father's love. I never knew the Father's love. And you and I are wired for our Heavenly Father's love. When you and I know that we know that we know that our Heavenly Father speaks from heaven and saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. If you know it on the inside, it transforms us. It gives us that same boldness as Jesus had when he said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. I know you hear me. I know you hear my prayers. Most of us, our prayers are around fear-based stuff. We're afraid and so we're praying, but it's ineffective. We're not praying like a son. We're not praying like a daughter of our Heavenly Father. We're not saying, God, I know you hear me. I know you hear me. I know you're going to come through. I know when I pray for the sick, they will be healed because I'm a son. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing like knowing the Father's love. It completely transforms us. Romans 8, 15 to 17 speaks about the spirit of slavery and the spirit of adoption. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery, but to fall back into fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. There's a spirit of sonship. It's not just something you have to work up. It's something God imparts to us supernaturally. By whom we cry out, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. But there's two contrasting spirits. The one is a spirit of slavery that leads to fear. Many, 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 many Christians sit under this slavery spirit. We're always trying to earn our dad's favor. I must read my Bible more. I need to do this more. I need to do that more. I was there. I have fasted myself into a pulp. There was a season in my life, I think I averaged 2 or 3 days fasting per week. I was so trying to be a son. I was so trying to earn God's favor. I was so trying to prove I'm called. I fasted for 14 days in water, 21 days in water. I fasted many 7 days. I don't fast so much anymore. I think the Lord is calling me to fasting a bit more. But I was wasting my this 21 days of fasting. I remember often thinking, that was such a waste. 21 days in water. Nizi lekani. But looking back, it was a spirit of slavery. Trying to say, I am called. Trying to declare I've got an anointing from God. Spirit of slavery, but a spirit of sonship. It's beautiful. Spirit of sonship is a place you take up in God, in Christ, and you didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't strive for it. You just received it because you know Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. And I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. When the Father looks at me, he sees the Son, Jesus Christ. When I just put my trust in what Jesus did for me. But now, when I take, now I can live from that place of favor. I can live from that place of boldness. I don't have to, oh, did I pray enough? No, I don't have to pray enough. I can just be a son. Now I'm going to pray. Because, I mean, if you've got that place with God, you want to pray. So there's an outflow of life, outflow of blessing. But the spirit of slavery leads to fear. The fear closes the heavenlies. Fear shuts the heavenlies. Fear makes our praying powerless. Fear disconnects us from God. Slavery has zero fruit. But sonship. If you forget everything else, remember this. For a son, the heavenlies are always open. For a son, the heavenlies are always open. For a son, there's always a connection with the living God. For a son, a spirit of sonship. Slavery is always trying to earn the favor. A son knows I am loved already. I'm valuable. I am special. God is for me. God is with me. It looks the same, unfortunately. It's hard to actually, because it's the same activities that you might see, praying and maybe fasting, reading the scriptures, witnessing, praying for the sick. It might look exactly the same, but the slavery is a disconnect. The heavenlies are closed. The sun, there will be a manifestation of the glory of God. There will be healing. There will be life change. Sonship. Son. You're a prince. Royalty. I am a favored son of God. You are a favored son of God by faith, by trust. And then the last bit of that scripture says, provided we suffer with him. Pastor Fred ministered a bit about suffering. And I just want to add this. And it's something the Lord showed me. Part of the game is there will be a test. There will be challenges. It's part of the game. It's part of life. We had a school of the supernatural the one evening, and we prayed for people, and it was hit and miss. We made some massive misses, and we had a few mini hits. A few things worked. But I remember getting up the next morning, a Friday morning, and before I ministered this word, and I just felt God, it was just resonating in my spirit. I woke up with this word. This doesn't happen often, but I woke up and I just knew this. God said, every word will be tested. 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 And I see this. I see how this was happening to us. I received the word. There will be healing. There will be this. There will be this. There will be this. And then, whoa, the opposite happens. And then later breakthrough. You see, but we often lose hope before we get to our breakthrough. Oh God, I thought you said you're going to bless my finances. It's chaos. It's worse than ever. Ever experienced that? Often happens. You get a word from the Lord and you're saying yes. And then no, 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 no. What's going on? Every word will be tested. Every word will be tested. You see, it's in that place where we press in. It's in that place where God comes and forms us and molds us. It's in that place that He truly makes us sons and daughters of God. As you wrestle it through on your knees with Him, until you break through the fear, until you break through the unbelief, until you know, I trust. I trust. I trust. I trust. Every word will be tested, but sons will see the glory of God. As a Sonica's skin condition, our God has been good to us this year. The last 4 months has been probably the best 4 months of our ministry of 4 years in East London, just because my wife is sleeping. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. God has healed her after 3 years of not sleeping. Her skin is healed. Some other things, I've got a list. I'm ticking off my list. God is faithful. And this is not for the special and the elite. This is for all of us. This is for all of us. Every word. Matthew 4, verse 1 to 4. Almost finished. After Jesus experienced the outpouring of the Spirit upon Him, the dove came upon Him. The voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You see the testing. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, if, can you say if? The devil will come and tell you if. Are you? Are you a child of God? Is God with you? Have you worked enough? Have you earned it?" He's going to contest our identity. That's how He comes. And the tempter came and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And every word will be tested. Every word will be tested. But the foundation of that is to know God is good. Even when you don't understand what the hell is going on. Excuse my French. But that's how you feel. It's like, what is going on, God? And you have to have this down. You have to have this sorted out. God is good. Always. God is for you. Always. He is good. You're just not understanding what's going on. This happens so often. I'm in a situation, I don't know what's going on, but I know, God, you know. And you're going to bring breakthrough. And He does. He is faithful. Luke 4, verse 13 to 14, ending off with this. "And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." testing will come again. But then he says this, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding region, country. Then he returned. So it's first receiving the infilling, the fullness of God's Spirit, but also receiving a spirit of sonship, where you come to know my Father loves me. My Father is for me. I remember the times. I think we sometimes underestimate how important identity is. We often focus in Christianity on the things we need to do, but we often misunderstand how important it is to be. And the key for being is seeing. The key for being is seeing. Who? Seeing God. What do I mean with that? You know, the Bible says, be holy. Do you agree? Be holy. It says, be holy as I am holy. You see, and now we try to be holy, but we cannot be holy. Why? Because we haven't seen holiness. You must first see the holiness of God, then it will manifest in you. You must first see and experience the love of God, and then it will manifest through us. Isaiah 6, the prophet saw the holiness of God and said, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And then the angel came with a coal and touched his lips, and he was healed and he became holy. You must first see. You must first see. And it's something you and I need to pursue. He says, God, I want to see you with my eye, with the eyes of my heart. I want to see your glory. I want to see your beauty. I want to see your love. I want to see you. Then he transforms us. But Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit after overcoming every temptation. And then the signs and the wonders followed. The supernatural followed. The supernatural followed. I just want to encourage you this morning. There is so much more. There is so much more. God wants to open the heavens over you guys. He wants to open the heavens over you as an individual. That wherever you go, there's this connection with God and an outflow of life. And I want to pray for us this morning that we would receive a spirit of sonship. An understanding of that what Jesus did on the cross for me is more than sufficient. It's an overpayment. It's an overpayment. I don't have to work for it. I can now just come. A new and living way God has opened for us. Hallelujah. God, we worship your name. God, we thank you that you want to open the heavens over us. Father, we honor you that there is so much more. You say in your word, whoever believes in me, the same works he will do, and greater works he will do. Whoever believes in me, and so God, we welcome you here. God, we thank you, Lord, for open heavens over us, God. We thank you, Lord, that Pentecost is an invitation for the same and more. Father, I pray that each of us will come to know the affirmation of our heavenly God. You're not standing with a whip saying, perform. You're saying, come to me that I can transform you and then transform the community through you. We acknowledge, God, that in us we have nothing good. In ourselves we cannot bring healing or life change. Holy Father, deliver us from a spirit of slavery. Deliver us from dead works. Deliver us from striving in the flesh. Deliver us from trying to earn that which you've already given to us by faith as sons. Thank you, God, for the call, the invitation for each of us into your presence, into a place of life change, into a place of being filled with you, filled with your peace, filled with your joy, filled with your love. Thank you, God, that we can find a place of rest in you. God, we worship your name. God, we worship your name. God, we lift up your name. And we welcome you here in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. I just want to share something that I feel the Holy Spirit is laying on my heart. Something that really transformed me was about 6-7 years ago. I was very much under the spirit of slavery and trying to earn my position with God. And my wife had a dream. And then somebody else had a vision or a picture on the Sunday. But it was Friday evening and Sunday. And the Friday evenings, my wife saw a boxing ring. And she saw me, a big guy, huge guy in the boxing ring, intimidating everybody. Nobody wanted to get into the boxing ring. And there's a crowd of people around. And then she saw me diving into the boxing ring and coming for this guy, fighting, hitting, kicking. And then at some stage, the guy just clapped me. I was out of the ring. I'm lying there back 3-4 rows back, and I'm out for the count. And then on Sunday, while we were having Foundation One Perspective Seminar, we're praying for people for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then somebody saw a picture of my wife and I standing under a waterfall. And we had our hands raised, and we were sort of just worshiping God. And she says, outside of this waterfall, there was a guy in chains. And she says that as we were just in the waterfall, as we were just worshiping God, the chains broke and the man joined us in the waterfall. And this has so changed my life, because I realized the boxing ring is that where we do it in the flesh. We do Christianity by our own ability. We try and we fight and we go for the devil and we attack, you know, and then, but we do it on the enemy's turf. And then there's a better way. The way of the Spirit is where we draw near to God, where we focus on Him. We love Him and we are loved by Him and we are transformed. And as we do that, lives are changed. This is absolutely defining of how I do ministry from now on. I draw near to the presence of God until overflow. Until overflow, until I have peace, until I have joy, until overflow, until overflow, until overflow, until the presence of God comes, until there's no longer I, but it's Him. I so want to encourage you, wherever you might find yourself, are you striving? Are you doing slavery? Are you doing works, dead works, and getting clobbered? Or are you doing peace, joy, fun, and overflow? The waterfall of the Spirit. So I want to just pray for us. I just feel we can maybe respond to this. Would you stand with me, please? God, we worship your name. Let's just close our eyes. just feel we can just have a time of ministry with some of you that need prayer. But if you feel that you're finding yourself more in a place of slavery, more in a place of that boxing ring of the flesh, you're finding yourself, Christianity's hard, and you're really battling. It's like sort of your, it's not from the place of sonship. It's not from a place of under the waterfall of the Spirit. It's not peace and joy. If you find yourself more on the flesh side, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? God, we worship your name. Is there anybody here as well that you just feel that you have submitted to a spirit of slavery that leads to fear? And you want to be set free from that? Would you raise your hand? Okay, anybody else? Father, we worship your name in this place. God, we honor you. God, we honor you. If you raised your hand, can I ask that you maybe just come forward quickly? We can just pray with you. If you raise your hand, just come stand here in the front. I want to pray with you. I really feel I want to release an impartation of sonship and a drawing into that waterfall of the Spirit. If anybody else that feels you need that, just come forward and we're going to pray with you. God, we worship your name. God, we worship your name. Father, we pray, Lord, even just for this church, Lord. I thank you, God, for the plan you have for this church, Shofar George. Thank you, God, that you have destined this church, Lord, to be planted under that river of the Spirit, God, under that waterfall of life. God, we worship you, God. We lift up your name. Let it be, Father. God, we just release a hunger and a thirst for the presence of God in this place. God, we release a hunger and a thirst for that waterfall of life. Lord, we pray that you'll open eyes to see, eyes of the Spirit to see. There's so much more. The overflow, the life in abundance, the blessing, the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord, that this place will be a place, God, of healing waters, Lord. A place of restoration. A place of restoration. Thank you, God, that many will be healed through this wellspring, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we just release that right now. We release that right now, God. In this place, healing, restoration, deliverance, freedom, joy, peace, life in abundance. Holy God, have your way, Lord. Have your way in this place, Father. Have your way in each one's life. Hallelujah. Just pray this prayer of agreement with me, please, and then we're going to pray with the people here in the front. Say, Father God, thank you that you are a good God. You love me. You are for me. Father, I want to be a son. I welcome the spirit of sonship, your Holy Spirit upon me. And in me. Lord, this day, I reject the spirit of slavery, the spirit of dead works, of trying to earn your love. And I ask, Lord, open my eyes to see that it's all been done by Jesus Christ. Lord, this day, I receive your spirit of sonship. Lord, I receive liberty, joy, peace. Lord Jesus, I come to the waterfall of the Spirit, and I receive life. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Truly fill me. Fill me to overflow. Fill me to overflow. In Jesus' name. Just receive right now. Just receive. Just receive the affirmation of the Father. Just receive. An impartation of grace. I just feel the Lord is saying that He's calling us, each of us, deeper into His Holy Spirit, deeper into the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come. And I just see a picture of the doorway into going deeper into the Spirit is the cross. Come through the cross. Come through that finished work. Come through the finished work. You cannot earn it. You can just receive it by faith. Thank you, God, that you're calling us to come. Father, we worship you for that, God. Greater is He that lives in you than he that is in the world. Jesus, we worship you, God. Thank you, God, that you open the floodgates of heaven, God, over us. Thank you, Lord, for a stirring, Lord.
Open the the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain,
let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain,
let it rain. Oh. Open the floodgates of heaven,
let it rain, and let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. Open the floodgates of hell. Oh, alive, oh God, come alive, oh.
I just feel, for some of us, I feel like part of our heart, parts of our hearts have died. As I see like a heart, I see sections of the heart is like dead. Just as our eyes are closed, if that's you, if you feel a part of your heart has just gone dead, maybe towards God, maybe towards your spouse or somebody else, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. Okay. Hallelujah. And I just feel God is saying that living waters comes and it makes alive again. His Spirit makes alive again. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for that, also maybe just come forward, please. Just really feel that God's wanting to. Hallelujah. Can I just have a few facilitators just to come and pray with us? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for life in abundance. I just see a picture of a stream flowing through this place. A life-giving stream. A life-giving stream. Let's just draw near to the Lord, just for a little bit still. Just draw near to that stream. Just lift your voice to the Lord. Just sing softly to Him, or as you feel led. Just sing a new song. Just reach out to Him. The healer is here. His name is Jesus. The healer, come and heal, oh God. Heal, oh God. Heal, oh God. Heal, oh Lord. Open heavens, open heavens, heaven come to earth. Open heavens, open heavens, open heavens, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am the Lord, your Redeemer. I have paid for you. You are mine. To heal, to set free. To heal and set free. To heal and set free. Living waters flow through this place. Make everyone alive, every heart, every mind, every soul. Come alive, 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 come alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, we worship you, God. Every heart in this place, God. God, touch us with living waters. Come alive, God, we speak life to every heart. Healing to every heart. Restoration to every heart. I just feel the Holy Spirit giving me a word for somebody here. I feel the Lord is saying that somebody is offended. And because of that, your heart has grown cold. I feel somebody is offended with church leadership. Not necessarily this church, but somewhere you've been hurt. And that's causing a disconnect for you. In your relationship with God, a disconnect. And you must bring that to the Lord so He can heal you. As every eye is closed, I'm not going to call you forward, but if that's for somebody here, could you just raise your hand? I just want to know if that is, if there is somebody like that here. Okay. Thank you. Father, I just pray for those, Lord, who've raised their hands. Father, we pray that you'll deliver them from their disillusionment with church leaders. Thank you, God, that love covers a multitude of sins, even the sins of our leaders or past leaders. And so, Father, we just pray for healing, restoration, deliverance. Restore their hearts. Thank you, Jesus. And when you hung on that cross, you opened the door for us to never be offended. To never be offended. Because you took that all upon yourself. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We release forgiveness and restoration in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're just going to be spending some time praying with the people here in front. If you need prayer, you're very welcome to join us. And really, it's just a time I feel, I just saw a picture of a river flowing through this place. And I just feel God is just wanting to touch us. Just as we're going to be praying, just that the Spirit of God would touch our hearts and make us alive. Hallelujah.
Ek gaan vooral dat Wilmele net anders sing. As jy moet gaan, as jy ongelukkig iets aan het, kan jy sy vry om te gaan. Maar ek wil graag dat ons, as jy nie dalk hier voor staan, nie geniet het net in die Here se teenwoordigheid. Ek was saam met André stem, wat ons vanoggend gebid het, ek net gevoel, daar is sommige van ons, wat ons dra klippe in ons harte rond. Of het nou soos is met die woord van offense, of wat het ook al is. En ek het actually gevoel, voor hy die woord gebring het, sommige van ons, jy weet jy moet hier voor staan, maar jy voel net maar, dis mense wat het doen. So ek wil nie hier voorkom staan nie. En ek wil vir jou vandag sê, dis nie mense nie. Dis supernatuurlik. Dis 'n plek waar ons net kom en sê, Here, let your living waters flow. En ons roep jy mense nie vorentoe om te embarrass, om te sê dit of dat nie. Dis just a place to say, Lord, I want to receive. En soos ander gesê, jy hoef nie hier voor te kom staan nie, maar tydens die worship, dalk is jy net bang, jy het dalk dinge wat, jy hou nie af van as mense vir bid jy of wat ook al, respond net tot die Here. Ek net gevoel die Here sê vandag, hy wil nie dat een van ons hier uitgaan sonder om aangeraak te word deur hom as hy vir jou roep vir oggend hier. En as jy, ek wil jou graag uitnooi, as jy hier voor gebed wil kry, kom haal dit. Ons sal graag saam met jou bid, ons sal vir jou. En as jy te bang is, sit net daar waar jy is en receive net. Maar moenie uitstap en hy hart is hard en die Here sê vandag vir jou, he want to give you a heart of flesh. A heart that pounds, a heart that living waters flows. In Jesus' naam. So wil my as jylle kan anders sing, ons gaan lekker vir die mense bid. So as daar nog mense wat voorin te kom, jylle